Pass the salt.
You want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it's only 20 degrees here. So much for winter and spring and summer and everything comes. 20 degrees. Get up this morning. Tired. I'm sitting down here in my studio, pointing over my heater, tired of paying my heat bill. I wanted to get warm. And that daggone thing ran in the middle of the night last night. It was so cold here. But praise the Lord. Welcome to Pass the Salt with the Coach, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. I'm going to bring Jared in here in a little bit. We're going to talk about some changes we got going on here at our website that I think that you're going to like. We're really redoing a lot of things here at Pass the Salt Ministries and the Salt and Light Brigade, and just ask that you bear with us. I'm flying to Maine. I'm going to be out there with Jared and Mike on Friday to really try to firm up even some more of the stuff that we're trying to do here with particularly the Salt and Light Brigade, just because we know this. When I came back from Dallas, I'll back up a little bit, JR, you told me how to do that. When we came back from Dallas, I was convinced more than ever that there's a whole bunch of church folks sitting out there that aren't being ministered to by anybody. And the last thing I ever wanted to do was to be a pastor. I got a coach's heart. I don't have a pastor's heart. I think they're similar, but I don't think they're the same. But I think we have when we begin to bring people the truth, I think they become hungrier for more truth. And all I want to be able to do is I want to be able to bring together those who are hungry for truth. Electronic church, if you want to call it that. Not so much church, but electronic fellowship and teaching. With the internet now, the things that we're able to do are just absolutely unbelievable. We want to set up the Salt and Light Brigade or the Community Watchman, whatever it is we're going to talk about when we're out in Maine. We want to make it available for people to every day to be able to be fed. They have a place that they can go where they can hear some good preaching and some good teaching and get some good fellowship. And we see this thing branching out all across the nation. An electronic church. Isn't that crazy? I don't want to be pastor of it. I want to help organize it. We got Pastor Bill Dunphy and Pastor David Langford and Pastor Flip Benham and probably some others that are going to bring along. In fact, we're going to do something else. How about this? We're going to raise up some pastors out in the hinterland. I hear all the time from people say, Coach, you know any place I could go to church? And sadly I don't. I don't know someplace they can go to church. So we want to help to train, equip, and mobilize some guys like you out there. You become a local shepherd there. Maybe not a church in the brick and mortar sense of a church, but someone who can help organize and bring brothers and sisters in Christ together and have some fellowship. You know, again, as I said a couple weeks ago, the word tells us that we're to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And even more as we see that day approaching. And the idea of assembling doesn't just mean to gather, but to put us together into a workable unit. So we're doing a lot of changes that are going on here. In fact, before I really get into the anointed part of it, Jared, why don't you just take a minute and explain to those who are here, maybe those who are listening, just some of the changes that would be important for them to know that are happening right there at CoachDaveLive.com. I don't hear him. Do you guys hear Jared? None of us hear you, Jared.
Was that one of the improvements?
Yeah, that's one of the improvements to shut Jared up, I guess. Jared, that's crazy. That's what happens to me every once in a while. All of a sudden, we go blank. We can't hear you. So if we can't hear you, we'll move on to something else rather than waiting for you to get to the point where we can hear you. Can I pat myself on the back? Jared, if you get your setup, just say so. I'm two-hand patting myself on the back. In fact, a Rush Limbaugh, see, I told you so. See, I told you so. Did you guys see that Donald Trump's now, all of a sudden, the polls have changed? Remember I told you that yesterday? That they've spent about 2 weeks telling us that he's fading. Oh, my goodness, the Trump machine is done. He's finished. And I said yesterday that as we get closer to the election, because they want to save their credibility, they're now going to say, wow, my goodness, there's a last second surge and Donald Trump has surged. And it's all because of that Cruz sex scandal, whatever they want to make it to be. But now they're all saying that Trump's up 10 points. So as I tried to tell you yesterday, the purpose of polling is to direct you towards a particular place. That's where they want you to go. And so because the media wanted you to hate Trump, they tried to all hate Trump so that he wouldn't win. But I think he's gone to. Who's whispering there, Roger? Quit whispering. We can hear you. You're interrupting there, Roger. So I'm patting myself on the back. I don't know if Trump's going to win, but right on cue. It started at Fox News. I didn't turn them on. I saw online Fox News lead story. Oh, Trump is surging. Oh, Mike, do you have any idea how many people are really and truly locked inside a box and can't see outside of it and don't understand what's going on? Used to be me. I used to be in there. Thank God. Remember, the word tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free if you know it. And I just pray every day, Lord, give me more truth. Just give me more truth that I can share. And how do you know if it's truth? Your truth detector. Not Rush Limbaugh. He's not the truth detector. Your truth detector inside will help you know. Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And so I continue to receive emails from people blasting me because I'm a Trump supporter. And those of you who've listened to the show, I never said I was a Trump supporter. I explained to you exactly what's going on, that an evil tree cannot give good fruit. And I don't care if Billy Graham himself or Franklin Graham is the Republican nominee, that tree is not going to bear good fruit. It's just not. And so they question my Christianity because I'm not on the Cruz machine full bore. And it's the same thing. I said, fellas, if you knew what I knew, you would think what I think. Isn't that true? And so the number of people who email me or Facebook me who think I don't know what's going on. Coach, if you just knew this, and I just scratch my head, think, man, oh man, man. Let me throw this one at you, because I know you guys don't know this one. And I'm just going to plant this out there to you, and then you can Google it all later. I'm not going to talk about it. You know the ocean's dying. Do you guys know that? Because of what happened to Fukushima about 3 years ago? That the oceans are full of radioactive waste. Animals, fish in particular, are washing up on shores all across America, all across the world. Whales are dying. Our oceans have been poisoned. Now, say, well, what's that got to do with anything, Coach? Well, it has a lot to do with it. If the oceans get poisoned, we're not able to have the life that's in the ocean. It'll have cataclysmic effects on our environment. It all happened with the Fukushima nuclear power plant, that when they had the tsunami, what was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that thing got overrun. The walls got cracked because of the earthquake. And it's been seeping radioactive material into the water and into the air. I was listening to a guy yesterday said they should have evacuated the entire city of Tokyo. It's 40 million people. Should have evacuated the whole thing, didn't. So watch what's going on. There's always something going on. Google that. You think I'm crazy. I've got my hat on. Google it. Anybody for the good of the group here before we get really rip-roaring here? Jared, did you get yourself working yet?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Jared. Take just a couple minutes and tell us about what's going on there at Coach Dave Live for those who are listening right now.
All right. I will show you what's going on with Coach Dave Live. So what we're doing is here, you guys can see that, right?
Yeah, click on, folks, if guys, click on that. There it is. Click right on the little icon there. Puts it up there.
All right. So what I've added here is, we have this section here where we have most recent, and then these are going to be our uploads, and this is still under construction, but here you click on audio, and it'll filter out anything. It'll have everything that only has audio on it. Now, what that means is you can download this as a podcast and listen to it whenever you want.
These are all of our shows. So now if you want to direct your friends to it, rather than having to watch the YouTube video, you can say, hey, till these guys, they can download it on their phone, they can listen to it rather than having to watch it.
Yes, so I'll do it right here. Now, the dates and things, they'll get fixed here. So burying your talents, and here we go. This brings me here to this page, burying your talents, listen, download, or watch this episode. You can listen right here. or you can download it, and it just downloads right there. Boom. It's already downloading.
Cool. Right?
And so you can listen to it whenever you want, or you can watch it right there, and you can just do it all on the website right there.
So we're trying to, again, I'm talking about, so that you guys can help understand the vision that we're talking about here, I envision sermons from Flip Benham. I envision sermons from Pastor David Lankford or Pastor Bill Dunphy. I envision that being on this website at some point. And again, as I've tried to say, I don't want to be anybody's pastor. I don't. But I'd sure like to direct people to a place where they can get a good word. And I think that even though people need fellowship, I believe they can get fed. I get fed listening to stuff on the internet. And I believe others can too. We just got to make sure that we get the good stuff to them. So that's all found at CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. I kind of cut you off there, Jared. There's more that you wanted to say?
Nope. That's it. Just as long as if you guys have any questions afterwards, I can explain it and whatever. But the goal is to design it easy enough so that everybody can understand how to do it. So.
Did you have to do those one at a time, Jared?
Yeah, they're each an individual post. Yeah.
But you had to strip the audio out one video at a time, right?
I can do it kind of bulk, but yeah, it's a little time consuming. But anyway.
Cool. Good job, Jared. Good job. Guys, I want to dive into something today. Again, I was joking before. I want anybody that's out there listening right now, whoever sends me an email or a Facebook post, sometimes your Facebook posts or your emails that you send me are worthy of discussion. I'll never tell people who it is. So if you've sent me an email in confidence, I'm not going to tell everybody who it is. But the principles that I receive in some of these emails are worth discussing. So I want to discuss a couple things that I've received because I think it's very, very germane to where we are here in our battle for truth, justice, and the American way. Two of them. I got an email from a woman who, in a loving way, kind of took me to task because she does think I'm too harsh. And in regards especially to abortion. And she's post-abortive, meaning she's had an abortion. By the way, at our boot camp we had this weekend on Friday night, we had Lori Davis, I'm sure Lori wouldn't mind if I use her name, gave a testimony about her abortion 30 years ago. And the deep wounds inside of her because of it. How she thinks about that little baby every day. And it wasn't until she was able to deal with it, come to bring it to the Lord and repent and really receive forgiveness and name the baby. She actually named the baby Gabriel. But in fact, the Holy Spirit told her that was the baby's name, Gabriel. Until she was able to come to that point where she was could get beyond herself, overcome by the blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony, loving not your own selves, even to the point of death. Till she could die to herself where she could deal with the embarrassment. You got to die to yourself to deal with the embarrassment of what you've done. You've killed your baby. Is there anything more horrendous than that? I mean, come on. What could be more horrendous than that you've killed your baby? And so most women get trapped because even though they've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, they really haven't. And you don't overcome by the blood of the Lamb until you're able to testify about it. You overcome by the word blood of the Lamb, and then you tell others about it. That's how you overcome. Blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony, and it requires you not loving your own selves even to the point of death because you have to die to yourself to give the testimony. Am I making sense? So Lori stood in front of the crowd Friday night, and she gave this powerful testimony about what had happened to her 30 years ago and the details of it, and it was really, really powerful. And even now, 30 years later, Lori's still walking through the healing process, but it's only been within the last year that she's come forward and been able to tell people, this is what I did. This is what I did to my baby. So I believe that our churches are full of post-abortive women. Full of. Well, come on, guys. 60 million. 60 million. That means about one out of every two or three people that you come in contact or have been involved with an abortion. And we know it's under the blood. We know that it's under the blood in that God, Jesus forgives us. But there's a big difference between Jesus forgiving us and us receiving forgiveness. Does that make sense, guys? You know what I'm talking about? We know Jesus forgives us, but we haven't received the forgiveness. And there are many, many women. That's why pastors won't talk about the abortion issue. Because there are many women sitting in the church who have been forgiven but haven't received forgiveness. They don't want to talk about it. It brings up horrible memories in their past. And I understand. So this lady, lady sounds harsh, just this nice woman, emailed me and said, Coach, you just don't understand. You don't understand what a woman feels inside after she's done that. And I agree. I don't. But men go through it as well. Men are, you know, men are involved in abortions. Men are responsible for having killed their own children as well. So it's not just women. But we do know that there's something that happens inside a woman when she's pregnant. She can feel the movements and all that stuff. And there's an attachment that takes place. And so she thought I was too harsh. By the way, this piggybacks with another email I'm going to get to in a minute about the love of God, the love of God, and that I need to be more gentle and show the love of God. I deal with that a lot, guys. I deal with it a lot. Those of you who know me really know me. JR really knows me. Roger really knows me. Kevin really knows me. I'm a tender guy. JR, give me a thumbs up. Am I a tender guy, really? I mean, huh, really? I'm a tender-hearted guy. But that side of me doesn't always come out. And I don't know what it is, whether it's a prophetic call on my life. I don't know what it is. But I received two emails today, both of them saying the same thing, that my ministry is bringing condemnation, not the love of Jesus. So I'd like to start with one question. First of all, what is love? What is that? Well, we can take you to the love verse, and we can read all through the love verse. But if I know my neighbor is on crack cocaine or what, pick anything, and I know my neighbor or my son or whoever is on crack cocaine, is an expression of love ignoring that he's doing it? If my son's on crack cocaine and he comes home and he begins to steal money from me to pay for his crack cocaine, am I to love him in that? Just continually love, just love him and pray for him, let him steal my money, let him ruin his life, let him get high in a car and run and kill someone. Is that love? So we have to start with that number one question. What is love? First of all, God is love, right? Jesus is love. But Jesus is far more than love. It's far more than that. He's not just that one-dimensional love, 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 love guy. And I hear from many, many people who believe that all we need to do is show the love of Jesus. Hey, Roger, I want you to jump in here real quick because you were at the clinic on Saturday. And yes. you love the Lord and you love those women going into that clinic. But, Roger, just telling them how much Jesus loves them is not enough, is it?
Well, no, it is not enough. And I really felt a comfort of sharing the judgment and wickedness that day. And I don't mean that in a harsh or arrogant manner. I felt it was part of the entire message.
We lead with mercy and grace. Jesus, please don't do that. This is typically how it would happen. A woman gets out of her car. You got about 30 seconds and she's gone. She gets out of her car and you say, ma'am, can we help you keep your child? Please, can we help you keep your baby? We'll adopt your baby. Is there anything that we can do? Your child is going to be so pretty. In 9 months, that baby's going to be on your refrigerator. Please, come and talk to us. That's the way we begin the conversation. And then as she gets farther and farther and farther away from us, she has now clearly rejected our message. Then we bring the message of wrath to her. You're not going to be. Listen. You're going to have to deal with this. You're going to have to deal with this. Well,
it's the message. It's the love of warning them what's going to happen, and where they're going, and the full message of love. The full message of love from the last couple months of what I'm learning in the morning. The full message of love includes that.
Yeah. Warn the wicked. Warn them. Hey, guys, turn real quickly to 2 Timothy. I'm going to show you something here because I think this is really, really critical. By the way, I emailed the woman back, and I read it to my wife. I said, honey, here's what I said to her. And my wife said, ooh, that's harsh. So even when I'm nice, I'm harsh, I guess, right? Even when can I read to you? Let me read to you what I said to her. Would that be okay, guys? And again, to the lady who I'm sending it to, I'm not mentioning who you are, so I'm not invading in your privacy, and I hope that that you receive that as such. It's certainly not my intention. Let me find my email. Hang on, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, there it is. Here's what I responded to her, and this is why my wife said, "Dude, that wasn't very loving." Right there.
Coach, when you tell your children to do the dishes, they think it harsh as well.
They do, brother. They think it's harsh. Where is that thing? There it is. I'm sorry. Here's how I responded to her. I gave you the message, basically, of what she said to me. I'm too harsh, and women need to, you know, they deal with it every day. Yada. I understand that. So here's my response. Actually, I'm not harsh enough. You make my point. This is my response to her. Abortion is illegal and should be treated as such. It's not a choice any woman should have to make. If it was against the law, there would be no choice like that to make. This past weekend at a boot camp, a woman confessed publicly after 30 years that she'd killed her baby. She didn't use the word abortion. She used the word murder because she said that's what she did. It's burdened her for 30 years. She wept. It should never have happened to her. It only happened because it was legal. We say in the baby rescue business that abortion leaves one dead and one wounded. That's the way murder operates. But as much as is possible, I understand your feelings. But to be honest with you, we're not harsh enough when it comes to mommy side. That's why I call it mommy side. I think it's time for post-abortive women to receive the forgiveness of Jesus. Only they can stop abortion in this nation. Abortion will never end if a woman remains buried in her guilt. You killed your baby. Face up to it. Repent. Receive forgiveness, and then don't let it happen to any other woman. That's the position the post-abortive mothers need to take. In honor of your lost child, rescue other children. The only reason abortion remains legal is because of the silence of mothers like you. Sorry if that sounds harsh. Okay, guys, what do you think? Kevin, what's up?
Life is tough, and then you die.
That's right. Life. I tried to drive her to Christ. Do you understand that? I tried to drive her to forgiveness. Kevin, what were you going to say? Hang on. We don't have you yet, bud. Not hearing you, Kevin.
Dave.
Yeah, Roger.
Dave, until Kevin. Well, again, if the mothers who have had the abortions showed up in great numbers, there wouldn't be abortion.
If the women who've had abortions would be out in front of the clinics telling these other women, look, I did this 30 years ago. Don't do this. It has ruined my life. No matter how big a problem you think you're in right now, this is nothing. This is nothing. Don't kill your baby. But see, women aren't doing that because they've been forgiven, but they haven't received forgiveness. Does that make sense, fellas? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Trying to drive them to true forgiveness in their heart. Abortion would end if mothers would be able to get out and do that. Kevin, go ahead. Go ahead, Raj.
Nothing is more powerful than a personal testimony.
Blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony, right? Yeah. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony.
They're as you've said, they're hiding or hidden in their guilt. But nothing would be more powerful. Saturday, I think there was 8 men there. Now we can do a good job, but nothing would be more powerful than a woman speaking to someone and said, "This, I've done this. This is my testimony. Amen. Don't do it."
And so I would do this when I was coaching our football team. I'd snatch a kid running off the field and I'd say, "Quit playing like a daggone sissy." Sometimes it takes a harshness. You understand that? To shock people. It takes a harshness sometimes to do it. To snap them out of their self-pity. Self-pity takes up so much time. Kevin, you're still trying to get in? Because I'd love to hear what you have to say.
I'm trying. I don't know what's going on.
We got you there, buddy. Go ahead and say it. We got you.
You got me?
Yeah.
I was looking for a scripture. I'm thinking back. The Old Testament, God was harsh. And when
He is harsh, Kevin. Is harsh.
He said, he's, you know, remember a time when you had a disobedient son or child, and that child, you've tried to correct that child, you tried, and what was the end result? What happened if that child would not repent and obey his parents? You took him out in the village, and what happened?
Stoned him.
And we don't live by that law anymore. That's too harsh. That's horrible. But you stop and think, well, if that happens once or twice, how many people are going to keep doing that?
Amen.
How many sons are going to see that and say, whoa, wait a minute, we're going to do that? Amen. Back in the old school when we used to teach, when I started teaching right in the beginning, I was fresh out of college, and I was kind of indoctrinated with this idea that, you know, to discipline a student, you would go and talk to them, set them aside.
Count to 10. Yep.
Treat them with kid gloves. You know what my principal said? She handed me a paddle, and she said, this is how you deal with it. I was like, whoa, I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
But you know what happened to the rest of the class? They sat up, paid attention.
Public floggings. We used to have that, didn't we? We used to have. See, listen, guys, shame is a good thing. It's a good thing. Properly applied, shame is a very necessary tool. Whatever happened to shame? I wrote on that a few years ago. We're not allowed to shame anybody anymore.
That's what prison was about. Punishment, you know?
Yep.
God punishes us still.
Yeah, I think if we really
go through hard times because we didn't do something right.
Hey guys, which
consequence
of
sin?
Which is more likely to get somebody not to drink and drive? Putting some guy in jail for 3 days and fining him $1,000? Or having a public flogging of him in downtown where everybody can come and watch? Which one is more likely to get you not to drink and drive? I think the flogging. From, you know, well, that's harsh, isn't it? Spare the rod, spoil the child. I really want to enlighten you to something here. This is so good. This is so good, what I'm about to share with you. Are you in 2 Timothy? I got this from Pastor Bill Dunphy. Matt, he preached this. Matt came to the boot camp on Saturday. Pastor Bill preached this on Friday. This is so good. Before we get into 2 Timothy 4, you know, I always like to read a little bit before and a little bit after. So let's go up to verse 16 of chapter 3. And Roger, you're our designated reader because you have that sissy Bible with you. Starting 16.
I'm ready, baby.
Start 16.
3:16.
Yep.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Wow. What kind of work?
Good work.
Good work, huh? There's some words in there that aren't very good words, I don't think. Mine says reproof, correction. Those aren't very good words, I don't think. But that's what the Word of God is all about. Now I'm going to divide something here for you that I thought about it all weekend. All weekend I thought about that. Go ahead, Roger. Okay, now he's just laid this out to Timothy, the Word of God. Here's what it's for: correction, reproof, instruction, direction. Okay, now remember, there's no chapters when Paul's writing this. 4 verse 1, Roger.
In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will come when men will not put up with. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to the myths.
Verse 5.
But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship,
Ooh, wait a minute. Why? Go ahead.
Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of the ministry.
Okay, where are these hardships going to come from that you endure? Well, the hardships are going to come from chapter, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Hey, guys, preaching the word in the church is in season. Perfect weather. It's a good time to do it. No problems in season. The problem comes out of season. And out of season to me means outside the church. Out where the big bears roam, you know? Preaching out of season. We have to be ready always to give an answer. Always. We have to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now, two of those words aren't very good. Do you like to be reproved or rebuked? Either one of those? And that's what Paul leads with, Timothy. The word of God's for good, for instruction. And you got to reprove and you have to rebuke. Now, here's what we hear. Here's the connection I want to, that Pastor Bill made for me the other night that was really, really good. Guys, listen. There's a difference between sharing the gospel and preaching the word. They're not the same. They are not the same. I can pull out sections of this Bible, and I can read them so powerfully, which I'm going to do this here in a second. They are so powerful. But they're not sharing the gospel. What is the gospel? Can somebody tell me what the gospel is?
Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection to begin with.
Okay, Larry, what were you going to say, Larry?
I was going to say the gospel to me is the fact that God has made a way for everyone to come into his love. Not everybody is there now, but everybody has the opportunity to come into it. And in order to do that, you have to follow the example of the lady with the alabaster flask. You have to burn your bridges behind you. Don't look back to turn around if this new thing doesn't work. You have to pour everything you have onto Jesus Christ and trust in him for everything for your future. And what she did has to be a part of the gospel message, or else the Bible lies and made a liar out of Jesus.
Okay. So preaching the gospel, combination of what Larry said and what Roger said, we're all sinners. In need of a Savior.
In short, it's the good news of Jesus Christ.
The good news of Jesus Christ, that's right. Jesus has come to save us from our sins, right? That's the good news. Now listen, guys, the rest of the Bible is not necessarily the gospel. The rest of the Bible leads to the good news. You understand the difference? The rest of the gospel leads to the good news. And in fact, in order to bring people to the good news, what did Paul say we had to do? What did he tell Timothy we had to do? We had to preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He doesn't mention love. He doesn't mention forgiveness. He doesn't mention any of that. He says, boys, just unleash the word. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have it. Paul's saying to Timothy, get into that harsh side of that gospel and you preach that sucker. And when you preach that, then hearts become receptive to the good news. But they're not the same. They are not the same. Can I show you something? You with me? Matthew 23. Let's go there. By the way, anybody's allowed to comment anytime they want to. We are we're inclusive and diverse here. Preaching the word, listen, preaching the word is preparing the heart for the gospel. Preaching the word prepares the heart for the gospel. We'll say it again because you didn't get it. Preaching the word prepares the heart for the gospel. Okay, you ready?
Jesus said, repent. Jesus said, go out teaching repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand, and be baptized.
Amen, brother. Amen. Okay, so here we go. Are you ready? Let's go. Roger, you got that sissy Bible ready to go? Huh? Let's see if Jesus is preaching the gospel here. Let's see if Jesus is sharing the love of the Lord with them. Let's see if Jesus is being kind and nice with these guys. Roger, we're in verse 13. 13. We're at 23:13 when Jesus comes face to face with the with the religious leaders. See, let's see how much Jesus loves them here. Go ahead, Rob. Just start reading.
Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to.
Amen. Ooh, I got goosebumps on that one. People are trying to get in. They can't get in. Go ahead, Raj.
Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are.
Amen. Keep going. I love this. That makes me want to dance. He's sharing the gospel here, isn't he, boys? Jesus is loving on them, boys. Go ahead.
Woe to you, blind guides. You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, what's greater, the gold or the temple that makes the god the gold sacred? You also say if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath.
He's going to really start sharing some love now. Keep going, Raj.
You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it.
Go to 23, Roger. Go to 23.
Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law.
Justice, judgment, mercy,
and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel.
I'm looking for one here. How about this one? No? Where does he call? Oh, go to 33, Raj, and we can wrap up this loving lecture from our Lord and Savior Jesus here, that just sharing the love of God with all of these boys. Let's go to 33 and let's see how loving he is.
You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?
You can stop right there. Huh? He ain't very loving, is he?
All you need is love.
Yeah, yeah. See, so when I go to the abortion clinic and some woman's about to kill her baby, can you imagine what Jesus would be yelling? Can you imagine what he would be yelling? But we do that. Do you understand who Jesus is talking to here? He's talking to the religious folks. He's not sharing the love of Jesus. He's not saying, fall on your face and repent and come and receive me. I love everybody. Oh, please stop doing that. You're just confused. Oh, you're just making a bad decision. I love you all. Please. In fact, he says later on, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have loved to have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks. So I wanted to do that, but you've killed my prophets. You won't listen to correction. You won't listen to direction. There's a difference between sharing the gospel and preaching the word. You understand, guys? It's very, very critical that we get this. When we go to the abortion clinic, we first try to share the gospel. And we know immediately, you'll know this, you can go to your own church. You'll know immediately if a heart's open. You'll know immediately. And if the heart's not open, then all of a sudden you better think, wow, I better figure out a way to open this heart because it's closed right now. This is a cold, stony, dead heart. I can't plant anything in that heart. So at that point, you have to figure out, how do I open it? How do I open the heart? Oh, you preach the word. You let the word open the heart. And see, we actually think, help us, Lord. We think when we go share the gospel, we get people saved. We think we do that. See, that's craziness, guys. We don't get people saved. We preach the word. The word draws them to Christ. The Bible says that the law is the schoolmaster that drives folks to Christ. The law does. Telling a woman that what she's doing is wicked, that is the law. Until she knows she is sick, she will not look for a cure. And so I hear it all the time. I didn't even get to the second Facebook posting I got from this guy about how I don't show the love of Jesus. It bothers him because he likes me. And I mean, he's good-hearted. He's doing this out of a kind heart. He really is. But that I just my harshness just turns people away from the gospel. And then I love to ask the question, pardon me, have you been at the clinic with me? I'm sorry, I missed it. When did you hear me doing all this? And of course they don't. But it's all this love, 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 love gospel. So I come back to the question, what is love? Man, it's 20 minutes till already. Somebody help me. Somebody weigh in here.
Are you being rebuked with love?
Well, he says he is. Says he's rebuking it with love. Sure.
No pain, no gain. You didn't watch the game last night, and you're not going to believe this, but when one of the teams wasn't doing well, the coach called a timeout, and he actually yelled at his players.
You rebuked him and reproved him?
It was horrible.
With all long-suffering and doctrine?
Nope. No blowing soap bubbles, no rose petals. He actually yelled at his players. I don't understand that.
So did the announcers point out how harsh and unloving and intolerant he was as he was doing that? Or did they think it was a good thing that he was doing that to his players?
They thought it was a good thing, which I don't understand that.
Yeah, they thought it was a good thing. Anybody?
Dave?
Yeah?
The issue of fear, the issue of warning people, that is the rest of the gospel, you know.
It's the beginning of the gospel, Roger. It's the beginning of it.
Well, when Larry said, you know, God has made a way to have his love, sinners need a savior, we hear that till the drum won't stop. There's truth there, but the issue of fear, consequences, God's wrath, his judgment, that steers us to that message at times, you know.
The scriptures tell us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
It begins with fear. It begins with fear. I'm watching my daughter and her son-in-law raise their children. Begins with fear. The training of a child begins with fear. Go ahead, Doug.
That's the exact same reason why they have labeled hate speech and tried to outlaw it. In fact, they are trying to outlaw it so that they can accuse anybody who is preaching the word. They can accuse them of hate speech. That's the first thing they want to do.
No need for the gospel. If there's no judgment, there's no need for the gospel. My son-in-law is about 6'4", big guy. You got some of you know he's a big guy. And I watched him the other day. His daughter did something minor that she shouldn't have done that he had warned her before. And I watched him, all 6'4" of him, walk across the room and tower over that little girl and put his finger in her face. She probably wanted to wet her pants right there because she had a healthy fear of her daddy. That's healthy. And see, we don't want, the fear of God is gone. As Doug just said, the fear of God is gone. Because there's nobody's ever sinful, nobody's ever wrong, nobody's ever judged, nobody's ever corrected. There's no fear. We have no fear. And remember we were reading the other day that the scriptures told us that God was displeased that there was no judgment. Judgment sounds harsh. We have a saying that we use, sometimes God's love hurts. It hurts. So when you're dealing one-on-one with somebody, you'll know right away whether you need to preach the word or share the gospel. You get the point? They're not the same thing. If you come upon somebody and they're crushed and they're broken and they're down, of course you don't hammer them over the head. Then you extend mercy. They're broken. They need to be picked up. You go to the abortion clinic, they ain't broken. They're not broken. Hey, they're going to be. Yeah, oh, they're going to be broken. But right then, they're not. So you have to try to do something right then to break them that they'll be open to hear the gospel. And the idea one man plants, another man waters, God gives the increase. We have to be the one that, even though it doesn't seem right, as Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Preach it, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering in doctrine. For the day will come when men will not put up with good teaching. We're living in the middle of that right now. Right now, we're living in the middle of it.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Can I say something? You know, yesterday you talked about Genesis, and I find it so remarkable. Since yesterday, since you talked about Genesis, what's been on my mind constantly is Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, where the serpent says, did God really say? And I'm going to tell you what, that has made a difference in my life. One little phrase that you can keep with you and think about all the time. Did God really say? Did God really say it's okay to kill your baby? Did God really say that it's okay to do this? Did God really say? And I tell you what, just bad words or whatever you want to think about. What a part of scripture that you brought up yesterday that's absolutely incredible. Did God really say it's okay to be a homosexual? Did God really say?
Yep.
And the serpent is trying to get us to say, yep, God really said that that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay to kill your baby. It's not okay for any of those things. So just something that's really, really helped me just in the last 24 hours has been remarkable.
Well, thanks, Matt. Thanks. I appreciate that. Remember this also. Eve was deceived. Adam had firsthand knowledge. Eve was deceived. She was deceived. And I'll tell you this. Once the Lord puts a real truth in your heart, you'll never lose it. Once he deposits a truth of a scripture into your heart, you will never, ever lose it. Roger, did you want to say something? I noticed your mic was off. Okay, your mic wasn't muted. Okay, can I take you another place into? Remember, hey guys, preach the word. I can't emphasize to you enough. They did not have the New Testament. They didn't have it. They were living it. They were writing it as they went, but they didn't have it. So when Jesus told the boys, when they went out and they did some street preaching, they were preaching out of the Old Testament law. There wasn't any New Testament. And Jesus was using the Old Testament to bring them to the gospel. That's what he did. Use the Old Testament. We shy away from it because we think the Old Testament's mean. God's mean. That Jesus got born again. God got born again in the New Testament. And he went from being this real old mean guy to being this real loving Mr. Rogers. We don't understand that the Bible says, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Excuse me. That Jesus said, my Father and I are one and the same. That the Holy Spirit is the agent through which God works in the world now. That Jesus said when he walked away, when Jesus left his disciples, he says, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go away, he who is with you can be in you. That the Spirit's like the wind. It blows everywhere. It's everywhere. The Spirit of God is everywhere. In fact, it says in the beginning in Genesis that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the earth. That's still going. That's still happening now. God hasn't changed at all. God in the Old Testament was harsh. The law was harsh. And why was the law so harsh in the Old Testament? Because they didn't have the Holy Spirit to save them. And so the harshness of the law was what tried to keep people in line and in control and keeping them somewhat civil. It was the law. But the Lord knew that the law wasn't enough. First of all, that men couldn't follow the law. And even if they did, that wouldn't make him righteous. It's the same thing he gave the Pharisees and Sadducees hell about. So I want to show you something here called an imprecatory prayer. You guys know what an imprecatory prayer is?
Mean harm to someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Do harm to somebody. Go to Psalm 55. Are you ready? Y'all there? Psalm 55. Now, the first part, David's talking about because of the voice of the enemy, because of their oppression of for the wicked, for they cast sin upon me. David's under attack. David is under attack. Now, David, we know that the Bible says to love your enemies, right? In fact, they beat us over the head with that. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. David's getting his hind end beat. And he cries out to the Lord, Lord, I'm getting my butt kicked here, so help me out here, will you, Lord? And listen to what David prays. By the way, every word inspired by God, right? You would all agree with this, that the Bible's inspired by God, every word, even the ones we don't like, even the ones that don't line up with our theology? Okay, Roger, you in that sissy Bible?
Yes, sir.
Okay, start with 9, 55, 9. This is an imprecatory psalm.
Confuse the wicked, O Lord.
No.
Confound
them. Roger, stop. The man's Bible says destroy. Mine says destroy, not confuse. Not confuse them. Oh, confuse them, Lord. No. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. Keep going, Roger.
Destroy the wicked, O Lord. Confound their speech, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng of the house of God. Let death take my enemies by surprise.
What?
Let them go, let what? Death take my let death take my enemies by surprise.
Hmm.
Let them go down alive to the grave, for evil finds lodging among them.
Hmm. Go to Psalm 18 real quick. This is not an imprecatory prayer, but I want you to listen. I want you to listen to this. This is all so good that Psalm 18. Roger, when I was being sued by the ACLU, this carried me through. Psalm 18 was one of those that carried me through. Start in verse 29. Psalm 18, 29.
With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall.
Mine says, for by thee I have run through a troop. Go ahead.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God?
32, it is God that girded me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth my hands upon high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of salvation, and the right hand holdeth me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Wow, huh? Wow. That's David, father of Solomon. That's King David. Not much love of Jesus there, is there? What's the point I'm trying to make, fellas? Exactly what I was talking about a couple weeks ago. There's a manly side of the gospel and there's a womanly side of the gospel. And the manly side of the gospel we just read. This is all the word of God. It's not all the gospel, but it's all the word of God. And we're seeing David talking about crushing his enemies, not praying for them. See, the reason you want to pray for your enemies is because it takes a poison out of your heart. You can't be angry with somebody you pray for. I never ever prayed at a football game that the enemy would win. I was praying they'd fumble. I was praying we'd intercept their pass. I never prayed for them. See, praying for your enemies is about your own heart. It's not about letting your enemies run over you. It's about your motives, checking your motives, and making sure you're doing it for the right reason. Our God is a consuming fire. Why would he want the devil's kids to win? Why in the name of tarnation would we think that God wants the devil's kids to win? You don't even feel that way about your granddaughter in a t-ball game. You want your dog granddaughter to win. The Lord wants us to win, I think. He wants us to hate his enemies, not our enemies. Hate his enemies. Hate his enemies. Convert his enemies into his children. That's what he wants us to do. But if they won't be converted, we gotta speak the truth to them. Golly, 4 minutes to go. I'll back up. Anybody want to kind of, Larry, did you raise your hand there? I thought you did. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, this brings me back to something that was mentioned a few programs ago. You know, there's some great teaching and great word coming through on the Pass the Salt here. And there's a lot of folks out there sitting and listening to this. And the fact is, and correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, but the fact is that if the foundation of the teaching isn't proper, then the teaching itself can be misconstrued and swayed and be applied incorrectly and stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And therefore, all of those out there that are listening or watching, I encourage you, please go to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. There's some very simple things there that are listed as being a part of the foundation of the Christian walk. And let the Holy Spirit teach you on these things before you start building on a foundation that isn't solid.
Hebrews what? Hebrews what, Larry? 6?
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2.
Read that for us.
Here's the things that are part of the, and the Bible calls them a foundation, okay? The New King James. What does the King James say in verse 1?
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God.
Okay, so the Bible itself calls these things right here the foundation. And the foundations are repentance from dead works is one of the foundations.
Amen.
Faith towards God is a foundation. There's a different Greek word there than faith in God. Faith towards
Amen,
God.
Amen, brother. Yep.
The doctrines of baptisms. Now, this is not the ceremonial dipping in water or sprinkling or whatever that. This is the cleansing. And I believe this is the cleansing of the blood is this doctrine. And of laying on of hands. I don't think this is the Pentecostal thing of laying on of hands. This is applying yourself reaching your hand out and taking and doing what you're supposed to be doing with it. Of resurrection of the dead. Now that's pretty basic of a principle. If we don't believe the dead rise again, and we're going to rise again. For our eternal existence, then there's not much sense in figuring out what to build on a foundation because you don't have a foundation to build on. And of eternal judgment. Now, we covered that one real good the other day. But these things, people need to get these right in their hearts and in their minds. Mm. And let because if you don't have these things right, then all other teachings you get can be great and can be wonderful, but they can also be dangerous.
Larry, that's really good, Larry. That's really, really good. Well, it's a good note to end on. It's not a good note to end on. I don't want to end, but I got to end. Got to run out and yell at the people at the clinic this morning and make them feel bad. So people are going to be waiting on me to be there. That's a great question I'm going to leave you with today, guys. God is love. We know that. But what's love? And how do you express it? God bless you. We'll see you all tomorrow.